but I'm lazy. So won't you please come home? Oh, honey pie, my position is tragic. Come and show me the magic of your Hollywood songs. Silver screen, and now the thought of meeting you makes me weak in the knee. Oh, honey pie, you are driving me frantic. Sail across the Atlantic to be where you belong. So won't you please come home, come, come back to me, honey pie.
Kind of feels weird not recording over top of a podcast. I'm here at Bluffers Park listening to podcasts, but I decided to shut them off and just start cold because it's cold out. Oh, yeah. This is the first time the car barely turned over when I cranked it up to start this morning. Like, it really struggled. That battery just wasn't able to do the job, but we got going. And in my wife's little Toyota, don't know if I mentioned last time, I had to have the battery replaced on my second call with CAA, but that got done. And those annoying lights went out. Now, it's Sunday, February something, not quite noon, and it was time to get out. February 15th, PodCamp. Next weekend, so probably at this time next Sunday, I'm going to be waking up and wondering, oh, is my head okay? Ooh, how is this day going to be? And when can I go back to bed? Maybe. That might be one way it plays out. I got myself a Tim Hortons French vanilla. Very sweet and sugary. And I'm hoping I win a car when I roll up the win here. I got, there's going to be 50 Toyota Camrys. Don't need a TV screen. $100 Tim card, I'd take it. I'd be pissed off, but I'd take it. And free coffee, well, yeah. So we'll see. That you don't know. I mean, you could be talking to a man who's going to be very happy in 5 minutes, but we don't know that yet. The water, the inlet, I'm at the boat launch area, and it's frozen, just bam, ice and snow. We had another big dumping of snow, and it's fierce. We are in the depths of February. It's cold. It's very cold. And that's all right. It's all right by me, you know. I even put my warm boots on, thinking I might go for a walk, and I'm thinking, no. Excuse me, there ain't going to be a walk today. I didn't sleep well last night because, here's the thing, I kept hearing these noises. And I'd look out the window and I'd see the branches from the tree that was supposed to have been cut down last fall. I'd see those branches rubbing across the eaves troughs and my upper roof and hanging lower and lower with the ice and the cold and the I mean, it's a dead tree. And I thought, oh, okay. And I'd watch very carefully to make sure the noise I was hearing was really caused by the wind blowing the branches against the roof and nothing else. And then I lay in bed, it was about 3 a.m, waking up to this really loud noise. And I've got an air vent just above the bed. And I thought, oh, man. I think that was just wishful thinking about the trees making the noise. I think I got a family of raccoons in the roof, in the ceiling, because they do that. And I thought, oh, and then you can't sleep because you're going through all that shit of, oh, my God, am I going to have to call somebody? If my wife hears about it, she's going to want the exterminators to come in. I don't want to kill the raccoons. And, geez, it's winter. Of course they need to get in the house. And all this shit's going through my head. And, well, what do? Poke open that little box and shine a flashlight and see these eyes shining back at me. Oh, my God. Ah. And the more I hear it and the scuttling and the noise is loud, I think that's not mice. That's fucking big raccoons in my ceiling. Finally, I get up this morning and the noise is still there. And I open the curtains and look out. And I watch again, and the wind comes up, and the branch moves, and I hear the noise, and I think, oh, thank God, it was the branches. It's not a raccoon infestation. It's that bloody tree I should have had cut down last fall. So told the dear wife this morning that first thing this spring, before we replace our deck, is we get that tree cut down because it's hanging over the phone line. No, the power line coming into the house. Yeah, the power line. And you don't want your power line broken in the middle of February. So, all right. So, in other words, that's a good news story. Hey, I don't have raccoons. I've just got a tree that should have been tended to, and I can do that as long as it makes it through the winter. What else we got? I got a story here. I'm gonna just give a bit of a rant. It just sort of explains something about me. I got lots of stuff, so just be patient, right? Anthony, you're okay. If you need to go up to 2x speed, that's okay. Anthony's been very kind, and he's actually listening a lot of the time at only 1.5x, and that's very generous of him. Peel Regional Police officer convicted in car insurance. Okay, here's a guy. He was getting a very healthy salary. He's Constable Carlton Watson, 50, 23-year veteran of the force. So he's getting paid a good salary, good benefits. And what he was doing on the side was taking cash from people, including, I guess, a tow truck driver and a manager of an accident reporting station or something, to write up a false accident report. And they'd give him $6,000 cash, and he'd write the report up. Even though he wasn't on the scene and he wasn't there, he would just sign his name to it. And then those people in the accident could claim, like, million-dollar liability things and so on. Now, my insurance is through the roof. Like, if my son, my 23-year-old son, if he gets his license this year, we sort of missed the mark last year, and if he gets it this year, automatically, he is added, because it's a driver in the house, he is automatically added to my policy with my wife at a cost of over $2,000. Whether he drives it or not, doesn't matter the vehicle or anything else. We live in Scarborough, it's a very high claim rate. This guy's in Peel, but it's the idea that somebody who's got a good fucking job with a good salary, good benefits, living in a good country, has got everything he fucking needs, he's still a slimy, scammy bastard, has to fucking cheat the system, and honest people like me and my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather pay the price. I fucking hate that kind of dishonesty. Honestly, it really bothers me. It may seem, well, it's just a small story. So what? A corrupt officer. What's new about that? It's just the whole fucking principle of the thing. You've got everything. A poor guy stealing something because he's desperate and down and out and addicted to drugs, I forgive him. This guy, I don't fucking forgive. And you know what's worse about it? Here, insurance paid out more than $915,000 in claims related to the fake crashes. And incurred a further $271,931 in expenses for medical exams, collision reconstruction costs, legal expenses, and so on. So this guy, not only that, this guy in March won $275,000 on a daily keno draw. Like, he won more than $250,000. And still, he's fucking scamming everybody for cash. Now, the guy is, let's see here. Watson has been suspended with pay since he was arrested in the spring of 2011. Suspended with pay since 2011. Suspended with fucking pay. God damn it, I hate that. Following an investigation by the Bureau's Internal Affairs Bureau, right? People, they were going to review his employment status following today's decision. Returns for sentencing. And while he was suspended with pay, he wins $275. Now, that's just coincidence. That's not really relevant to this story. You know, hey, he won it. Well, yeah, that's his money. Okay. Let's put that aside. It's just, it adds to the annoyance that, honestly, it's things like that, who people who can pay a corrupt bureau official. The one thing I honestly, and maybe it's old-fashioned thinking and maybe it was never true, but I used to believe that the wonderful thing about Canada, as compared to, say, India, Nigeria, some other countries, Egypt, whatever you want to name, we had an honest bureaucracy. You could not bribe people. Now, a lot of people are going to shout that down and say that's not true. But as a rule, it was. We paid police. We paid civil servants a decent salary. They didn't need to take money on the side to issue fake driver's license and so on. We don't have an honest bureaucracy anymore, and that breaks my heart. Honestly, that's the kind. You wouldn't think of Scarborough, dude. You're just a fucking pothead crazy man. No, I'm not. I am fucking law and order when the laws are fair. Forget the pot laws. And I'm glad to hear that we can now kill ourselves if we want to end our lives. And with help from a doctor, if it's proven that we've got a life-debilitating disease, that's no cure for them, we're suffering pain and anguish. All right, all right, all right. I don't know why I had to do it, but I it's when I see things like this, it eats at me, and I have to get rid of it. So I'm almost done throwing it on the... This is probably why I should not be taking my free newspaper. I stupidly signed up for Maclean's. I can't even read them. I got a backlog. I haven't even turned the covers on them. But I have been reading from The Artist Way. And those of you who have been following this podcast know for a while now that I'm trying to get started another podcast. In fact, I've already got 3-4 recordings on creativity. Now, I've just turned to chapter 7, because I am working... No, chapter 8. I am working my way through this book, and I am trying to do... Although I've really fallen off on the daily writing. Week 8 is recovering a sense of strength, and it's sort of about pushing back after being depressed or down or hurt or you know, about criticism, maybe about your art or whatever, and just having all those doubts and getting some strength and belief in yourself back. I've highlighted a few parts. Although this should be really done, I should be saving this for the other podcast, the What Makes You You podcast. I'm going to share it with you now because it applies to me. Man can learn nothing except by going from the known to the unknown. Now, that's real simple, but that's real good. Man can learn nothing except by going from the known to the unknown. Okay. Wounds that are self-inflicted. Well, I got those. Here's one I kind of like this statement, and I'll have to repeat it on the other podcast. Art is the structuring of time. Look at it this way, a piece of art says. Here's how I see it. Art is the structuring of time. I do like that. And I think it does apply to podcasting. It really is. I mean, basically, up until recently, I was putting out 60-minute podcasts every week. And whatever I had to express during that week, I managed to do it within a 60-minute frame. Now I've sort of broken out of that 60-minute. And believe me, it's liberating. It feels good that I don't have to. There's another one. Every end is a beginning. Well, that's true, too, because as soon as I finish one podcast, wow, I have got to get started on the next one. So I'll leave it there. I haven't gone through the rest of the chapter. That was just sort of a kick-starting. The world of reality has its limits. The world of imagination is boundless. Yeah. True. Art is a technique of communication. The image is the most complete technique of all communication. Well, you know, forget that one. Okay, anyway, there's tons there. That is The Artist Way by Julia Cameron. And I know a few Dixon Jane's podcast listeners. By the way, welcome to episode 497. Wow. I know a few of you listeners have this book and may be working your way through it. And of course, I got it because it was recommended by the Gestalt therapist I'm seeing. And I've really, really, really been rethinking my reasons for going for this therapy and wondering if it's just not a game. Like, really, what I need more than anything in the world is exercise and flexibility, moving my muscles. I just get my boots and coat on and come out to the car and sit there and start it up to drive my son to school. And he says, Dad, Jesus, you're out of breath. You're breathing heavily. And it's true, the simplest amount of exertion now. And I really do believe I will die of a heart attack the way my father did. I mean, I figure it is written. That's the way I'm going to go. And just the worry is that it will happen too soon. And instead of me going for therapy and trying to figure out, well, who am I? Am I really? I want to feel like I'm a nice guy. And I want to get rid of these feelings of guilt and doubt and conflict within and all the other shit. And I'm thinking, no, man, you'd be far better off just going to Tai Chi a few times a week. That would really serve you so much better than sitting there across from a therapist and talking. Sorry about all the noises. It's a handheld mic and I'm drinking coffee and fidgeting. Now, where were we? Oh, damn, I just had another theme to go. Oh, yeah, last night. Good news. Now, Anthony, if you heard Anthony's latest love-hate things, you will know that he visited Friday. And I was delighted to have Anthony come over to my house and we just chilled and talked for a while. And it was actually, for me, a talk I really wanted, sort of the difference between unionism and labor, which Anthony is knows very well both those fields. And it was a good talk about that and about socialism and how to improve the world. And it's, you know, with certain people, you can have certain kinds of talks, like, for example, or not. Like, for example, I can't talk psychology with Dave Brodbeck, because he's a behaviorist. But I'm sure there are other things. Well, no, I couldn't talk about art or... what can I talk about with Dave? Timothy Leary? No, no. All right, anyway, back to Anthony. He came over, and while he was there, I showed him, you know, we didn't do a tour of the basement, although, oh, there's that laugh. We're not going to do a cackling session, don't worry. The funniest thing, it just broke me up, was while he was there, a tweet came through, and it was something, make him smell the pomade, and then big all caps, smell the fucking pomade. And I don't even know if I want to explain that to anybody. I don't think I do. If you come to my basement, you're going to smell a pomade, okay? Leave it at that. And quite a few of you already have. And no, it's not me, you know, farting in my basement bar, right? So, no, it's quite different. It's an experience. Anyway, so it was a nice time. And then later on, we went to the Old Stone Cottage because I refused to go to any of the chain restaurants. Kelsey's or fucking Milestones. God damn, I hate those fucking places. But the Old Stone Cottage, the oldest house in Scarborough. And it's a pub. Anthony called it a restaurant. It's actually a pub. And that's because Anthony was drinking Coke and I was drinking beer. And therefore, it was a pub. But anyway, nice time, and then a lot of inside gossip, which I really enjoyed, which I'm not going to share with you, because we did not bring out our recorders. We just talked about everybody. All right, so from there, back into my basement, I got this turntable that I bought to digitize my LPs. You've heard about this. I've had it for a couple of years now, 2-3 years maybe, at least two. The problem was there are no speakers attached to it. And up until recently, I've just been thinking, well, gee, that's too bad. And even a month ago, I was thinking, well, I guess I should just buy another one. Because, like, Brian got one that he can just a turntable. And that's all I wanted to do. I don't really care too much about digitizing all my old records. But anyway, I look at this thing, because I haven't really looked at it carefully and tried to figure out the problem. And there's a line out. And then, well, okay, whoa. There's a line out, but it's old and it's got two RCA jacks. Oh, God. I don't have anything that'll plug into that. Then I realize, okay, now I got some speakers. And my wife tidies up in my house quite a bit. She does a very good job of it. And I'm just amazed that I go into a closet where I keep the computers that I saved. I've got probably about 4 old Macs. You know, you remember the purple grape ones, and got one of those. I love those. They're triangular shape, and they're just wonderful. And then my original, you know, beige box. And anyway, I've saved all those, and I've saved all the cables. We're getting to that because that's relevant. I look at these two RCA jacks. Well, they don't plug into anything, but I go into this closet where my wife has tidied up everything. Like, she is an amazing worker. She runs that house and she keeps it, you know, orderly. And I find a bag, and then, whoa, in the bag are two stereo speakers that, you know, Logitech speakers that I had from some old computer somewhere. Wow. I completely forgotten I still had those, but they haven't been thrown out. They're there, but there's no power cord for them, but they're there. Okay. Well, what I need is a power cord to power up those speakers. And I think they must have one of those. There's an old black trunk in my son's room, which he's using as a table, and it's covered. And so at supper time, I ask him, by the way, the story is not being told exactly in sequential order. Anthony's still in my basement. This is a little bit of background information, even though this comes after Anthony left. God damn it. There's probably stories about courses you can take on proper storytelling, you know. Try and follow a straight line. But we don't do that in the Dixon James podcast, do we? I've got all these old computers. I've got all the original cables, SCSI cables, mice, half a dozen cameras. I've got all this stuff that I, at one point, just dumped into this big black trunk in my son's room. And I realized, okay, I need a power cord for those speakers. There must be like a unit, you know, that just you plug into the little hole and there's a little pin coming out, and you plug it into your wall outlet or your power bar and power them up. But I can't find the original. God, there's nothing with the speakers, just the speakers by themselves. But I must have one. Because, I mean, I've got two zip drives. Anybody else have zip drives? I've got wonderful zip drives that I loved when that was a big thing. I've got the whole history of computing in my basement. So maybe one of the zip drive power things will fit or something like that. I don't know. And Anthony looks at the back, and he says, well, here's a certain kind of voltage and maybe amps. I don't know. There's some numbers and letters. Maybe you're supposed to have a power source that matches the numbers and letters on the back. right? So that you don't overcharge or undercharge or fry something, you know. Maybe there's a proper thing that matches. Well, here's another story. Now we're going to shoot into the future because Michael the Virtual Youper, is coming to my house next Friday. Oh, yeah. You heard it here first in the Exchange Podcast. This is our pre-PodCamp episode. Pre-PodCamp. Michael is coming, and I'm going to show Michael the five power things that I have and say, Mike, you're a guy who knows a lot of stuff, unlike me who doesn't know anything. Which do you think will do the least harm when I plug it into this set of speakers, okay? So let's park that one. That's into the future now. And just a heads up, Michael. So where were we now in this story? Anthony's in the basement. Oh, yeah. So well, I got these two RCA jacks coming out, right? Anthony says, oh, well, what you need is a female, two females coming out there, moving into one stereo, like a headset jack, because the RCA jacks are big, the headset jacks are just the little ones we use now, right? And I said, yeah, but then you got a headset jack, and the trouble is the speakers already have a headset jack coming out. They got the male, right? Like, so I got male RCA to male headset size. Like, this, nothing's going to fit here. So he said, oh, so Anthony's kind enough to sit there with his phone and go on to the source and send me, sitting across from him in the basement, to send me, listen, oh, here's what you need. Well, I think, you know, I have a box of the aforementioned box, the black box in my son's room with all the cables and scuzzies and mice and plugs and connectors, everything in there. Maybe I already have the parts we need. So thanks, Anthony, for that. Getting me started. Showing me there is hope. There is a way. There is a solution here. So I tell my son after supper, I say, look, Chuck, we got a problem here. I need to get into that box in your room, and it's covered. Because he said, well, there's nothing in there. And I said, yeah, no, whoa. And right away, I panic. Oh, my God. She didn't throw them out. Oh, my God. And he said, Dad, you look scared. And I really, this is what happens to me. This is what happens to me. I panic. No, whoa. Wait, where are they? Where are they? I need that stuff. I need this precious stuff there. I need it. I need that stuff. And I'm freaking. And this is maybe why I still need a little help with a Gestalt therapist to say, hey, whoa, calm down, back up, slow down, take it easy, big picture, don't worry so much. My wife says, oh, it's in the basement. It's in a box in the basement. Oh, my God. Really? And I'm not believing this, but I go into the basement, and we got these big boxes we've bought at, you know, the big plastic tubs you can buy at Canadian Tire or wherever. There's a bunch of them full of stuff that she has neatly taken all the crap and put it together. And I drag out, great effort, because my left hand still hurts. Holy shit, this is going to be a long one, I'm sorry. I drag out this big fucking tub and lift the lid, and lo and behold, it is full to the top with cables and connectors and zip drives and broken digital cameras and regular cameras that just don't work anymore and all the shit that I don't need but I've kept. And you know all those telephone cables and stuff? And oh, my God. A mother load of stuff. And I find, I dump it all on the floor, and I find an RCA, two RCA jacks, female, coming out to a single headset size male. Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. This is exactly the piece Anthony said you need. I got it in my fucking hand. I got it. I saved all that shit. Well, the problem here is this means I'm reinforcing the belief that you don't ever throw anything out because you might need it someday. And of all the fucking cables and stuff that I'll never, ever use, I find one piece that is exactly what I want and I need. And I plug those two, the females, into the RCA male jacks on my turntable. George Harrison is already sitting there, the All Things Must Pass triple album. It's already on the turntable. I plug in the turntable and I go and get this little miniature speaker, this little miniature one that fit in a pocket. And it's got a hole. And I take the male jack and plug it in and I drop the needle down on George Harrison. And lo and behold, I've got music. I've got music. I can now listen to my records. Holy shit, let the bells ring out. Let those fucking banners fly. Success. Wow. Honestly, it was just, it's wonderful. And now today, we're almost finished. Sorry, that was meant to be the climax, okay? The story, that's kind of the end. Today, I'm waiting till noon. It's almost noon now. I'm going to go back to the source, and I'm going to look for a female-to-female headphone size jack. So I can take the little outgoing male jack that I use to plug into my little portable speaker, put the female on that, have another female end, and then take the jack that's coming out of the stereo Logitech speakers that I found and use one of those five power sources to plug up those speakers. The light goes on when I do. And take the RCA out from the Logitech stereo speakers and plug that into that new female drive that I hope I get today. And I'm going to really be able to listen to my music. And this might change my life. This might mean that when I'm sitting there in that lazy chair at 6 o'clock and I'm just flicking through the news and I'm going to this channel, and 7 o'clock comes and 7:30 and 8 and 8:30 and 9 and 9:30 and 10, 10:30, 11 and 11:30, and I'm just flicking channels, that instead I'm just going to boom, 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 shut off that television, go down the basement and listen to some records. That's really what I want to do. Oh, my God. And there it is. Now, look, I had another entirely different story called Let It Be. It wasn't really called that, but that's what it was about. But it's 30 minutes now. 30 fucking minutes. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shut this off. I'm going to shut this off right now. Stop this part. Put in a Beatles song. You're going to hear a Beatles song because I love the Beatles song. And it might even be, like, you know, my favorite Beatles song. I know it's not anybody else's favorite, but I think it's my favorite. It's I Feel Fine. I think that's the one we're going to hear. And if it's not, hey, I changed my mind. Fuck you. Sorry, that's not necessary. All right, Beatles song, then I'm going to be back and I'm going to tell you about Let It Be. Stay tuned.
Baby's good to me, you know she's happy as can be, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby says she's mine, you know she tells me all the time, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad she's telling the whole world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know she said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine. Mm-hmm. Baby says she's mine, you know. She tells me all the time, you know. She said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad she's telling all the world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know. She said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine. She's in love with me and I feel fine.
Mm. Okay, so in your world, you've heard a song, I'm Back. This could be sometime 3 days later, but in fact, it's only 30 seconds after that last 30-minute clip. Okay, I'm back. Peeling back that curtain there and telling you what's really going on here. Let it be. My wife's birthday, February 8th, and you know my record, Tim Coyne. I shouldn't talk about him because he doesn't listen. Tim used him and all would always jump on me for being such a shitty husband and doing such a poor job of, you know, birthdays and Valentine's and Christmas and, you know, God, you got your wife a vacuum, you got your wife hubcaps, come on, dude. And by the way, Anthony met my wife, so there is a string of podcasters who actually know that I have a wife, but more than that, that my wife realizes I do have real friends outside the ones that I may have grown up with. And I'm always delighted when she gets to meet somebody and say, look, I got a real friend. And he's smart, too. These aren't just stupid people I found on the street. These are smart people. So she's met Anthony, Dave, and Bob. She's met the whole trio, the holy trio who does the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour and what's that other one? Best episode ever. Yeah. And she's met more. She's met others. But anyway, back to the story. Let it be. Her birthday. And I think, holy shit, man. You know, the jewelry is a lost cause, and we've gone through that before. God, hang on, I just messing with this coffee. I'm fidgeting. Get out there. Gotta get the last few drops. It's really sweet and tasty. Okay, coffee's done. We'll find out later if we won. Her birthday, and I fail miserably. I can't get clothes. I can't get a jewelry. I can't. There's just nothing I can get my wife that is going to be right. So I see Let It Be is coming. And I see the review. It's at the Sony Center for just two nights. It's a world tour of four guys who play the roles of the Beatles. And I just sort of glance at the reviews, and I'm really hopeful. And the reviews are really good. And I think, okay, don't second guess this thing. They're playing on Valentine's Day. Now, there's a nice thing, because they're only separated by a week, my wife's birthday and Valentine's Day. Get the tickets, give it to her for her birthday, and then take her out Valentine's Day. Because on her birthday, we went to another musical that I had tickets for. So, dude, you finally got it. You got a good one here. And by the way, I hope you've taken a break, because you don't have to listen to this whole show straight through. I can talk it straight through. I can do the whole show right now if I wanted. But you don't have to put yourself through that. You can just hit the pause button. Anyway, I order those tickets online, and I think, holy Christ, you know, $80. I could get cheaper tickets. I'm like, no. Not the time to get cheap tickets. So they're $75, $80 a ticket. And then you got all these other charges they throw on, you know, for using this service and this service, when it should be cheaper buying things online. Instead, it turns out to be even more expensive. But doesn't matter. I've paid the money. I've got these things. Now, I give it to her on her birthday. I got a nice card. I mean, I went to the dollar shop, but it was a nice card. Some nice words. Let her know how much I appreciate her. Put the tickets inside. Give it to her on her birthday. And she says, oh, that's not good that weekend. And immediately I panic. Whoa. These are not tickets I'm going to give away. It turns out she's got a friend coming. And she'd already made arrangements long ago, and maybe I should have checked. And here's me thinking, just surprise her for a change. Just do something nice. I'm not feeling good about this. So, she's going to work around it. She'll see her friend on the Sunday instead. Okay. Oh, phew. God damn. All right. But she doesn't know what it is. But anyway, all right. Okay. So I've sort of done something, but really not with that, really exactly with her blessing or anything. And then I'm thinking, hey, but, you know, I'm trying here. I'm really trying to make a better effort. Okay. The day comes, and I'm really thinking, okay, it's at the Sony Center. It's a short walk from Union Station. So great. Drive to the Eglinton Go parking lot. Hop on the GO train. Walk to Union, or walk to Sony Center. We're done. We're there. Beautiful. Now, I'm an early bird. I'm anal about time. I'm just one of these people who's just, I gotta be early. And this is why I fit so well in Japan. Like, I was never late for anything in Japan. You just don't be late in Japan. There are no excuses. There are no excuses. So I'm always this way. And in fact, I'm to the point of being uptight about it. Like, it took me a year to adjust to my son's carefree attitude towards time, and yeah, I'm coming, and he's not coming, and I'm just, oh, God. And if you're like this, and again, another reason for continuing my Gestalt therapy, if I could loosen up about time, I'd be a much happier person, and the people around me would be much happier, okay? That's really where we're going with this story. Time is a problem for me. So I figured it out. Okay, normally if I was going by myself, I would get the earlier train. I'd go to Union. Maybe I'd have a coffee or something. But no, I'll take the train that gets us in there at 1:10. The performance starts at 2. The main doors open at 1. You're allowed into your seating at 1:30. Well, I want to be in my seat at 1:30. Okay, I'm just that way. Other people can sally in whenever they want, but I want to be there on time. I want to be there before you're allowed in. Okay? That's just my way. I can't change that easily. Anything else would cause me stress. Already I'm thinking it's winter. The GO train sometimes is a problem. The train might be late. You know, and it's not just that these are expensive tickets, but I just don't want the stress of being there worried about the time. So I tell my wife, okay, look, we have to leave the house by 12:30. We've got to leave at 12:30. We're going to drive to the GO station. We're going to park the car. We're going to walk across the street. We're going to buy the return tickets to Union. Get on the train that leaves at 12:48, gets us in at 1:10. Okay. So I've that's all right. It's past 1, but that's okay. 10-minute walk over there, 1:20. All right, we're still. They haven't opened the doors yet to let you in. We should be good if everything is on time and goes as planned. But I'm still a little stressed. So, around 12 o'clock, my wife gets a phone call from a friend. And I could tell from the phone call that something was wrong. Something was really bothering. She's got a few friends. One friend younger than her had a stroke. Another friend went for dental surgery and part of her jaw got, the needle went in the wrong place and she said paralyzed a little part of her mouth was just not working properly. And my wife is working with people every single day, people who are dying, getting Alzheimer's, just getting old at the ending years of their lives. It's very stressful, very tough. She has been to an awful lot of funerals. She has had people die in front of her. It's very, very hard. And so when you get a call and it's a friend and a friend is not doing well, it adds to the stress. Well, I'm oblivious to this because I've only got one thing that has to be done. We've got to get on the 12:48 GO train. That's all that I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about who called, although I should have been a little more sensitive. I've got a job to do. We got to get on that train. This is my job. I'm in charge. It's like in the summer when I'm running my tour, I've got 32 girls from Japan. Those buses have to be on time. I have to have everything booked. I get a little stressed until I finally leave Toronto and it's out of my hands. As long as we're in Toronto and I'm in control, I'm in control. I'm a little stressed. I don't like it when people are late. Where's that bus driver? I'm just stressed, okay? So she gets off the phone. She's a little upset. And then says, I need to eat. I'm hungry. And I react. Not in a thoughtful, kind, husband way, the way a husband should on Valentine's Day especially. Oh, okay, well, get something. Instead, I react probably, I don't recall exactly because I've probably blocked it in my mind, but I react in a way that's, oh my God, Jesus, we got a fucking train to catch. For Christ, what, you're hungry now? We got a train to catch. That kind of way. It wasn't quite like that, but maybe in her ears it was that and amplified 10 times, okay? Jesus, like, why now do we have to? What are we going to do? Child that I am, asshole that I am, insensitive, stupid blockhead that I am, on this day to celebrate her birthday with a lovely pair of tickets to see a wonderful show, I kind of wreck it right off the bat. Okay? I just spoil everything. Now, my wife is a strong character, and when you push the wrong button, you regret that you pushed that button. And, of course, I regretted very much that I pushed that button because I'm getting an earful. My son is getting a little annoyed hearing this, and I'm trying to defend myself. But look, well, look, I'll go to McDonald's. I'll get you something. Like, I'm thinking, okay, we've got to leave the house at 12:30. It's just after 12 now. I got time to zip over to McDonald's, get you a burger, come back, do something. But, you know, tell me now. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you need? What do you need? What time? We've got to go. I'm just all stressed out. I'm really, really stressed out. And, of course, this is not helping. She really resents the fact that I'm acting this way. I'm telling her when she can eat and what she can eat and what time she can eat. I'm controlling everything, which my Gestalt therapist says, you've got to let go of control. You can't be controlling everything. You've got to really release that control of the people around you. And I'm doing exact opposite. And my wife's thinking, look, I know Union Station. There's plenty of places in Union Station. I'm thinking, yeah, but if the train's late and then there's a lineup at McDonald's and oh, my God. And I've lost it and I've wrecked it and I've spoiled it. And we get on the train. She just leaves now, and I'm thinking, well, now we got to wait in the station because I've wrecked it. I've completely wrecked it. And I feel very bad about that, and I feel very stupid, and I feel very angry with myself, and thinking about all the ways, if I could unwind that tape, go back to the beginning and start over, how I might have handled it differently. And we don't talk till we get into the theater, and I ask if she wants a drink. I ask, does she want to, or she asks if I want to get one of the programs. And of course, me looking at the programs for $15, thinks, no, I've already paid enough, I don't need one of those bloody programs. And then grumbling, and she says, I got to go to the washroom, and she's in the washroom, and I'm thinking, wait a minute now, Ken, think this through now. Think this through. She asked if you wanted a program. She's female. She's Japanese. Translate that. It means perhaps it might be nice if we had a program. Okay? That's probably it. And so just fortunately, I've learned a lesson that day. I've made a big mistake. I'm not going to make another mistake. And while she's in the washroom, I walk over and I put my $15 down. I take a program. We sit down. She doesn't want to look at it now, but if you're okay, I've got it. It's going to look good in my bar, but I've got it, and she can bring it into work, and she can show her friends what she did on Valentine's Day. I don't know what to expect of this thing. Something else that came out, and it kind of stung just a little bit because she said, you're doing this because this is something you want to do. And of course, I'm feeling, yeah, well, it is the Beatles. But I'm thinking, if it's good, she's going to enjoy it. Now, I'm gonna fast forward here. I'm not going to drag you through the whole day. I'm just going to get to the quick. It was a fabulous performance. If you have a chance to see Let It Be, the road show that's on now, and it's going all over Canada and it's going all over the States. It is worth every penny of those $80 tickets. It was fabulous. It was truly amazing. Now, we had seats about 20 rows back. They were good. I had an aisle seat, which I needed because of my long legs and these tiny seats in the Sony Center. It was perfect because they were just far enough away that, God, they actually look like John and Paul. They really do. Now, not only do they look like them, but of course they got replica, the same instruments, looking like. There's a fabulous Ringo with his big set of Ludwig drums, and a George who plays that wonderful lead guitar and does an amazing job. These guys are musicians. They look the part. They've got the accents. They're all Brits. Amazing. Now, the good part is, wow. My wife is clapping. I'm looking at her. I'm just wondering, is she going to be doing this? And wow, she is clapping. We're all standing up. We're waving with the rest of the white-haired people in the audience. Everybody in the Sony Center is into it. It was an unbelievably great show. All went well. By the time the show's over, we're back on the train heading home. My wife says, let me see the program. She's got it out. She's looking at it. She had a great time. I had a great time. Don't worry, I'll go out and get supper tonight. Everything is fine. It all worked out. All is forgiven. I won't make that mistake again, or I will try not to. It ended on a happy note. And it ended with me having an even greater appreciation for the Beatles, if that is possible. Because this time I was really listening to the lyrics of all the songs. And the show started off with these guys in the cavern, and they're kind of dark, and it's up on stage. You don't see them well, but it's the cavern. And next thing, they're on the Ed Sullivan Show, and next thing, they're at Shea Stadium. And next thing, they're going through all these stages, and each time, they're wearing different suits. They just sort of turn their backs, or a curtain comes down, and they come back out. And meanwhile, you've got on either side of the stage, you've got old television clips of Beatlemania and the scenes from England at the time, and you've got an announcer coming on. And quotes from the Beatles, and you could tell, whoa, they've just found marijuana, whoa, they found LSD. And next scene, there's this wonderful scene where they come out dressed like the cover of Sgt. Pepper's, and you're thinking, wow, oh my God, that is so cool. And on from there, it's just great. And of course, each time, their hair is different, they're coming out, they got longer wigs, they got mustaches. In the end, I was almost crying. When John came out in the long white coat, you've seen pictures of that after he's met Yoko, who did not make an appearance, by the way. And then the final John is in wearing that, like, the military, short military jacket. You always see him in pictures when John's in New York. It was amazing. They did an encore. They did three encore presentations, the audience on their feet. Wow, 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 wow. Really, really, really good. And I'm just so happy that I chose that. Like, I thought, when I was watching it, I thought, Ken, do you realize there was a possibility you wouldn't have bought tickets for this thing? And you wouldn't have known what you missed? Because, by God, am I glad that I went. And I'm just thrilled, yeah, even as I talk about it today. Now, you know, I'm just going to do one last bit here, okay? Because we've almost gone on, counting that 30-minute clip and this 20-minute clip. God, for an hour already. In the beginning, I couldn't stop my mind. I think I was stressed from all the shit that had happened and me overreacting and then the tension. And I was watching and listening, but I couldn't get into the moment. And then the voices in the head were going, well, hey, you just think about it. Just listen. Just watch and listen. Don't think about anything. Don't think. Enter the now. Be in the now. And, of course, you can't do it when you're beating yourself up like that, trying to just experience the moment. And just gradually, without me thinking, the show just won me over. The boys playing those parts just won me over. The music won me over, and I'm into it, and I'm loving it. And we're up, and you're moving and swaying to the music, and, oh, celebration. Wow. So that's it. I'm going to leave it there. Believe it or not, that was a happy story. What is this? part at the end. I don't get that. That's not me. I don't know where it comes from. It's like, I don't know. It's not mine. I don't like it. Yeah. No. Go away. Leave me alone. All right. My feet are fucking frozen. I'm wearing my boots. My feet are just goddamn frozen. I gotta go home now. I gotta go and buy that little female-to-female connector, the Source, formerly Radio Shack. Little anecdote there. My wife first thought it was Radio Shock, and my father thought that was the funniest thing he heard. In the nicest way, it endeared her to him. And my dad loved my wife, and that's just... That always made me so happy. My mother did too, but my father, it was just because he was a shy, quieter, a little more reserved man. And it was very, very clear he really felt for her. And I just thinking about that now just makes me want to cry. It was such a nice thing. Hey, happy Valentine's Day for yesterday. All right, Scarborough Dude. Enjoyed the storytelling today, you know. This was great fun. And it's weird because I'm able to, as I'm talking and telling the story, there's another layer of my brain that's still thinking. Because I don't know what words are coming next. I mean, I don't rehearse those stories. They just came out. And I think I did a pretty decent job, if you don't mind me saying so. But as I'm doing that, I'm thinking, you know, dude, you're really getting into your stride now with the storytelling. Maybe I should keep Dixon Janes going. We'll leave that there. Bye for now.
A little here. Sounds pretty scratchy, and there's no volume control on this little pop-up speaker. George Harrison, I Dig Love. Boys and girls, this is the end of this episode, take two. A little voice said to me, when I cobbled the two long stories together and put them in there and realized, gee, there's no more room for songs, and how long is this episode going to go anyway? Hey, I've got an idea. Why not make this a bonus episode? Yes! So, Dixon Jane's listeners, you faithful ones out there, welcome to the end of episode 465.5, a bonus episode in celebration of Canada Flag Day today, February 15th. 50 years today. 50 years we've had our stupid little red and white flag with that maple leaf in the middle, that boring old flag. All right, anyway, that aside, yesterday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, the Beatles, just in general, because we should always love the Beatles. And there's something else. PodCamp Toronto coming up. Oh, tomorrow, Family Day. The Monday is a Family Day holiday in Ontario. So all those things put together gives me the excuse I need to call this a bonus episode. And that way, as you can figure out, I get an extra little episode in there. Anyway, I've gone way over the 500 mark already with the Dixon Jane's podcast. So the number 500 is, yeah, it's a little bit arbitrary. You know that. Oh, God. You know, I'm standing here as I listen to this, thrilled to be actually hear my records again, even though the sound is pretty shitty. I'm staring at my Beatles shelf. There are just so many Beatles books. I've got two shelves full. And even a wonderful little rubber figure of John Lennon from the early days, from Yellow Submarine, sort of a little 8-inch statuette thing that was a gift from my boys. So, yeah, feeling good. And I just want to kind of thank you all for hanging in there with me for so long. And giving me, you know, the encouragement, those of you who sort of sent in messages or words of support to make it all worthwhile. So that's it. Bonus. Thank you. I feel so much better now. And I hope you enjoyed those stories. I sure enjoyed telling them. That was a blast. So some of you I will see very soon at PodCamp Toronto. And looking forward, especially, to have the virtual Uper up here. This is big news and very exciting. And I look forward to standing right where I'm standing now and giving him the guided tour of the bar, the Timothy Leary section, the Henry Miller section, the Jack Kerouac and the Beat section, and then the books, the shrine to my father I'm standing in front of now, and then just the knick-knack shelf. And, oh, there's a little Nigeria corner, and I have, I think there's a little Japan section. Yes, that's the Japan section over here with a big Buddha and some beads. And a little bit of everything. So that's good. All right, but just about we're winding up. I'm going to end with this song. I want you to know that I dig love. Not very good at it, but working on it. Working on it, you know. Wish there was a volume control. I could fade it out. The record appears to be a little warped, too. It's going up and down. But what the hell? This vinyl is pretty damn old, too. This is the Harrison 3CD, 3LP set, All Things Must Pass. All right, Georgie Porgy, thank you very much for that. Good stuff. And Dixon G's listeners, bye for now. We're done. Thank you.